Good morning. Good morning. Okay. I'm so excited to be back and to share with you. Somehow I can get this one. Okay. Usually I read the scripture verses before I preach. Today I'll save it to the last. So before we start, let's have bow our heads, have a word of prayer, ask for God's blessing once again. Father, we come to you, we sing these songs, we ask for your power of Holy Spirit to open our eyes so that we can be speechless, but we need to have our ears open, eyes open. We have hearts still so that we can hear you. And Lord, I pray that you give us the truth so that we can be free from the falsehood, from the lies of this world. Give us a grace so we can be free from the guilt, from the fear, from inside. We pray that your Holy Spirit will cleanse everybody here so that we can all benefit from the word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I picked this topic. The reason I pick this topic because, you know what? I find myself thinking about this a lot. Do you ever thought about this? Or when was the last time that you think about this? When was the last time you think about this question? Or let me do this. Show hands if you have never thought about this. Okay. So we all agree, we thought about this. Have we?
Yes.
I have. Hopefully, within 40 minutes, we find some answer, okay? Do you want to have some answer about this question? Do you? No? You don't care?
Okay.
Either you do, you don't, or you don't care. Okay, I repeat the question. How do I make people like me, think highly of me? My oldest son, Phil, when he was at your age, he thought about this a lot, but he couldn't verbalize it until about 10 years later. That was a tough time for him and for me. Because I always asked him, the first question I saw him when he came home from school, guess what the first question I asked him? That's probably the same question your parent asks you. Well, let me ask a parent here. Can some parent here volunteer to help? What was the first question you ask your kid when he comes home? Okay, then? Okay. I think she's doing a lot better than I did. I usually ask him, did you do your homework? Or what is your homework? Then three hours later, when I saw him in the hallway home again, I would say, did you finish your homework? Guess what? That was a question my parent asked me when I was your age. I usually say what? When I was your age, I usually say, I did. Then parent will ask me, how do you do it at school? Usually I say, what? I wasn't that smart. I usually say, well, not so good, bad, or something. But my kid usually, if I ask, how do you do it at school? He usually say, okay. What do you mean by okay? Dad, okay. It took me a while to understand when he said okay means that's it, don't ask or talk about something else. It's only 10 years later Phil told me I really meant talk about something else. The problem with me is I didn't know what else to talk about other than if I ask him this question, how do people like you? That would get some, you know, either some conversation going 10 years later, when I asked him, how was the school then? He would tell me 10 years later that it didn't go well. But that was 10 years later. I said, what didn't go well? I expect to say, oh, I failed the test, or, you know, I did well. Then he or she would tell me, that was 10 years later. He said, I had a tough time during the lunch break. I said, come on, lunch break. I thought that's, when I was his age, when a lunch break, I was excited. I was going to get food, you know. But I never realized the lunchtime is a tough time for him. Why? Because he worried about who's going to he sit next to. Or the worst question is, will be anybody sitting besides me during the lunch break? You know what? If he had told me that question when he was that age, I would have driven down to the school, sit beside him. That would make his day worse. Because even 10 years later, when he talked to me about that question, both of us sit there, we felt helpless. We have no solution to the question. We cannot make people sit next to me. Even today. Well, when I was professor at Oakland University, I couldn't make people sit beside me at lunch break. But only I care less. I mean, you know. So how do I make people like me? I have very little clue then. I hope I have more clue now. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here to waste your time. Let's have a more popular thinking of how do I make people like me. The answer I provide you here is the survey result by a nationally renowned agent. I forgot who that was. I heard this on Focus on the Family a couple of years ago. It really opened my eye. It doesn't open my eye in the sense I never knew that. It opened up my eye to know this is how the teenagers thought about it. I thought it was, you know, the philosophers figure out, or the sociologist, professor of sociology figure. No, it doesn't take, you know, a college degree to figure this out. I bet you even the sixth grader or the fifth grader think this way too. The number one answer is to be smart with the great grades. The result is people admire you. No wonder when I meet my peer, meaning parents, first generation immigrant, Asian immigrant like me, when we talk about a kid, the number one topic, guess what? Grades. If the parent has three kids, one kid has a straight A student, the other one is B, the third one, play basketball. Guess which kids this parent going to talk about all the time? Guess what? Which one? With great grades. Unfortunately, I'll tell you about what's, for every answer here, this is a big trap. Follow on that. For example, I have three kids. The youngest one is by the name of Jason. Probably some of you heard about him. When he went to college the first year, he got plenty of, not A's, he got several C's. Now, I can tell you this because you can check with him next time when you see him. He had been a high school teacher for 5 years, so he went through that on both sides of the aisle. He was a student, and he was a high school teacher. But the first year in college, he got a couple of C's. And all of a sudden, I can sense when we talk about grades, when he came home the first summer. Talk about grace. He told me, no, I got a couple of seats. For me, I had an easier time than him to take that, because he was not used to getting seats. We used to joke about it because I remember in grade school or high school, one day we came home and joke about everybody should get C because C is average. But for the Chinese parent, to get C is a failure because we think A is standard, B is barely acceptable, C is below acceptable. But to the contrary, C is average. We joke about it. But when my kids get C, because I've been college professor for 20 years then, I said, well, it's okay. Because I told him, Ronald Reagan used to get C. Then we did laugh about it. But I bet you, to most of the parents, they're going to have a hard time accepting their kids getting C. Because you're going to get C. Especially when you go to U of N, go to an Ivy League school, you will get C because you have a top, the cream of the crop. All the A students from all different high schools go to U of M. I'm explaining to you, I've been at Oakland University for 30 years. It's a lot easier to get A at Oakland than in U of M. Now I said, well, of course, U of M here, OU is here. That's not necessarily true. When you finish your college degree, you go to your job. It's not necessarily U of M always promoted to the manager. OU always stay the bottom. No. That's nothing to do with that. One of my, Phil's my oldest, one of his buddy at high school never finished college. Never finished college. He was manager at a auto parts company. That was 5 years ago. 5 years ago. And he has a group of 35 or 40 people under him. Many of them are PhD and master from U of M. And he never finished college. You will get C sooner or later. If you don't get used to this, you're going to be for a huge surprise. Number two, being beautiful to be desired. Guess how much investment the cosmetic industry or the beauty industry spend? Probably as much as, I wouldn't say the defense budget, at least half. That's why people have a trouble getting old. Guess what? You are getting old as we're talking. If you don't get used to not being beautiful physically, your life's only getting harder. Look at me. I'm getting older. Physically, I'm getting uglier. But if I'm not getting used to that, if I still fall for this, I'm going to have a trouble getting up in the morning. I was here a couple weeks ago when Randy Johnson was here. Guess what? He's older than I saw him last time. And he admitted that too. But when we saw each other, we hug each other. We don't say, hey, you're more ugly. We say, Randy, I love you. And he did it the same to me. Not because I'm younger, more youthful. Sometimes you say, third, being rich to be envied. That's why my oldest son, Phil, when he turned age 17, I bought him a car because I don't want to drive him to school every day when he missed the bus. So I bought him a cart. It's a junky old cart. But he's okay. When I come to Jason 10 years later, I asked Jason, you want a car? Dad, don't bother. Then one day he said, guess what, Dad? One day I drove him to school in the parking lot. That's not even Adam. Adam is better. People I know, because my oldest son went to Adam, my youngest son went to Rogers High. Usually, people went to Adam with the family income a little higher than those in Rogers High. I went to Rogers High. And Jason showed me in the parking lot Maserati, I don't even remember the name of the car, Maserati. And showed me those convertible, this and that. Then all of a sudden I realized having Phil to drive a junky old car in school is not necessarily a plus. Sometimes it's better just ride on the bus. Because people do think rich is something to be envied. Guess what? If you fall into that, one day, when it comes to the next time when the stock market crashed, when the housing market crashed, you're going to have a hard time living. Last one, popular to be followed. We all want to be the jock of the classroom, whatever, I don't even know the term. Guess what? You can never control how people like you or not like you or popular. Who decide what type of person is popular? It's very hard, right? If we knew what kind of person would be popular, we can model after that. But most of the time, being smart with a good grade doesn't make you popular, right? So even knowing all these doesn't help. Because you may have one, you miss the other. So it's not, I can share with you my personal experience. It's not that, oh, I haven't figured it out. Give me 10 more years, I can figure this one out. I can honestly say to you, I haven't figured it out. But I have some answer, but not figured the whole thing out. Okay, let's have a reality check. Do we know Whitney Houston? Most talented female singer artist. Most beautiful and talented female singer artist this century, right? But you know how she died? Of drug overdose. What kind of drug? Tranquilizer. Why tranquilizer? Because this is a Kevin Costner comment. I read about it. You know who this guy is, right? He's a very famous guy. This is a movie star. This is artist. They're both worldly renowned. You know, well, they got everything you want on that list. Kevin Costner said the last time he worked with her, and Whitney Houston kept asking Kevin, I'm so nervous. I have to take a pill. I can't go on stage to perform. Why? He said, why? You're the best in the world. Everybody is looking, you know, waiting for you, applauding. You make tons of money because they pay money. They pay hundreds, thousands of dollars just to get a ticket to watch you, listen to you. Why are you so nervous? Kevin, I don't think I'm beautiful enough. I don't think I'm talented enough. That's why she needs to take pill every day. Don't you think you can ever be as beautiful, as talented as Whitney Houston? Even we are, there's no guarantee people are going to like you. 3 years ago, Jeff Liu, Anybody know him? Right? You know him. He was U of M InterVarsity Asian Student Advisor. He was here 3 years ago. I have Brady, Pastor Brady, have him share with the parent, not you, parent. And he went up to say, 30% of the Asian student at University of Michigan are clinically depressed. I mean, 10, for every 10 people, there are 3 of them are. I think it's a little less at OU because pressure is less. But why didn't the parent know about it? He said there are 3 reasons for that. Number one, parent. Because they when they got C, they will get C. You will get C at U of M. When you get C, the first reaction for the student is, I failed my parent. When I grew up, my parent told me the same thing. I remember so vividly today. Don't you think I think my mother loved me. Loved me and cared for me and did everything for me. She always told me that, Jack, you don't have to do anything. Just get good grades. Have you heard that? I did almost nothing. Just get good grades. But when I got C at the top university in Taiwan, I have a hard time telling her. I got worse than C. I got D. I have a hard time telling her. So I can relate to what Jeff Liu said. So she said the students, when they got C, they feel so guilty because they failed their parents. Number two, they're so isolated. They feel so much stressed out by the competition because there's so many tough students from good students from different, from all over the country come to your event. Number two. Number three, the Christian value. We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do that. Shouldn't do it. All those things where most of people do anyway. They feel outcast. The worst part is they have nobody to turn to. This is reality. You know what? I went to the seminar for the whole weekend last weekend. The professor of clinical psychology from Northwestern University is a top in the country. He told us the top profession in the United States is either lawyer or medical profession. And he gave us the statistic. He says the suicidal depression rate for the medical profession, special doctor, is at least 30% higher, if I remember correctly. It just shows how much tougher. It's different from what we'd imagine. We would imagine if you're in a tough profession, if people admire you, people envy you, people follow you, you have a life mate. It's just the opposite is true. Now, sounds a very gloom picture. Gloom. Now, let's look at what the Bible says. I put the suggestion is for the reality. Sometimes when we read the Bible, I don't know how you, many times I find myself, I'm bewildered, I'm depressed, I'm frustrated. I look for some suggestion from the Bible. When I read this, oh, this looks good. If I take that attitude, the suggestion may not work for me. But if I have an attitude that I need help, I take prescriptions. I take directions instead of suggestion, it may help. But anyway, I put the word suggestion. The number one is, the Bible says the value is not coming from what you do. how you look and how much you owe, or how capable you are. It comes from God. Let's read the verse. Okay. Oh, can we read this together? Okay, this is Psalm 139:14. Let's read together. Okay, what this says is, I will praise thee, means God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It doesn't say how tall I am, what my weights are, how do I look. It doesn't say that. It say, when you're born, when I am born, I'm wonderful already. Because I am and you are God's work. And my soul knows right well. I knew it. I know it. I know I am wonderfully made by God, even though I may look like this. You know who this guy is? Called Nick Wojcik. He's still alive. He was born to a family. He's a Serbian descendant, born in Australia, Melbourne. He's about around age 30. He was born that way, without limbs. The only little thing he had is one foot. That's the way he looked. But he is wonderfully made. But don't you think his peers, when he went to school, don't you think a peer would say, hey, Nick, you're wonderfully made. Did you think that happened? No. They laugh at him. They say, well, you can Google on Nick Wojcik, they could tell the whole story. So for the first, but his parents are very sincere Christian. The parents say, you are wonderfully made. You are great. Keep telling him. So the first 5 years, he never realized he was that deformed. He would not realize he would be ridiculed, rejected by his peer until he went to school. So for his first 6 years, he had this huge, disastrous time. He wanted to commit suicide. Because just imagine how hard it is for him to commit suicide. How could he commit suicide? He has no limbs. He can't even knock his head on the wall. He tried to draw himself a couple times, but he had a hard time getting the water full. He can't even pull the knife on himself. So he constantly depressed until age 12 or 13. He ran into a Christian friend, much older. The friend told him, you are wonderfully made. You are beautiful. And that friend has also some defect. I forgot what it is. Then the guy told him, you have two choices. You can keep self-pity for the rest of your life or commit suicide, or you can start thinking you're wonderfully made the way you are. Then he started changing. Now by age 17, he, in the classroom, just imagine 11th grade, he just constantly went to the, in front of the class, give a talk. He requests that, he constantly get the opportunity to give a talk. By age 17, he knew he's so wonderful, because when everybody else stood up, nobody listened. When he stood up and started speaking coherently, intelligently, people started listening. Until today, he has spoken in front of millions of people. I have a few you can go to YouTube. He spoke in front of a high school crowd in the gym. People start to cry. Then he asked them, "What is your problem?" Apparently he has a problem, right? But he asked, "What is your problem?" People start to cry. All of a sudden we will realize, it's not the makeup. It's not how I look make me wonderfully made. Because I am wonderfully made already. That only comes from God. Or from your parent, or from the ones who love you. When we see a person without legs, like Nick, hopefully we'll stop self-pitying about that we cannot afford a pair of $200 Nike shoes. But look at this one. This one was Brother Wang Senji gave it to me. Many times, we miss a lot of... Instead, you say, Pastor Cui, I mean, I don't care about Nike shoes. You can put something in place of $200 Nike shoes, such as, I don't have the look of such and such. I don't have the grades like such and such. I don't have iPad, iPhone, whatever. Like such and such. I don't have this. I don't have a convertible. I don't live in the right district. Why there's a TV show? LA, California, 927, whatever. Because that district, if you tell people, that's my home district, you are somebody. You don't have to have all that. Secondly, love has to be unconditional. Unfortunately, I'm talking about myself. Don't I think my mother loved me? Yes, I do. But many times, the human love is if or because love. What do you mean by if and because love? I love you if you get all straight A. You get B, I still love you, but okay. You get C, I'm going to have a hard time loving you because you get C. I love you because I want to marry you because you're wealthy, you're kind, you're caring. When this guy get broke, get frustrated, get angry, I'm going to have a hard time marrying you because you're huge. That's not love. That's not how I was raised in my family. Probably, I hope you have a better Christian family in which to be raised. I remember one time when Jason, I don't forgot what, when he came in and said something, I say, Jason, what? Then after I finished talking to him, then I look at him, he looked at me, Dad, I wait for him to say something. Then he said, Dad, don't yell at me. I said, I didn't yell at you. So all of a sudden I realized he never heard a word I say because the way I say it. Then he never heard a word I say. The message he got is, Dad, you don't care for me. Because of what I, no matter what I did, because, maybe because what he did. I did this, and he said, so now next time I practice, somebody, especially in my family, when they did something, I think very upset. Then I immediately go to the in front of the mirror. I saw myself in the mirror. And I said, okay, I'll do it again. I said second time, until I said third time, my facial expression get relaxed. Then I go to that person and repeat the same word. Then all of a sudden he heard me. Oh, okay. You know what? We cannot lie from the way we show. But we have to practice saying the same, saying the right thing with the right emotional expression to show we still care for them. We never condone the wrong behavior, but we have to love this person. which is tough. I tried for 35 years. I still haven't totally figured out, but still trying. Let's read this together. This is from Matthew. Okay, go. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight out of the water, and lo, the heaven was opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 3. The reason I point this out is, this is the first thing recorded for the adult Jesus. Before he did anything, he went to the wilderness to be baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus has no sin, need not be baptized. But through this baptism, John the Baptist saw and heard this, the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I will." In other words, God the Father loves Jesus not because he did anything, but because he loved him. Not because he got an A or B, he hadn't done anything recorded in the Bible. Likewise, the way you receive love is through accepting Jesus Christ. So when you accepting Jesus Christ, you hear God say, "This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased." There's nobody in the world can say the same thing to you more deservingly than Jesus Christ, because he loved us not because of us, it's because he is love. So this is a partial answer to the question, love, the last one. Value and law have to be realized through maturity. How come God loves us, but I don't feel it? Because it takes practice. So finally, I have a 5 to 10 minutes clip of Jeremy Lin. Let's read this. Finally, 2 Corinthians 4:7. Go. "But we have this treasure in the earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So we have a treasure that's the Holy Spirit, God's love in us. We are earthen vessel. Okay, go. Jeremy Lin, we know Jeremy Lin. This is the interview of Jeremy Lin last September before he became famous, when he was almost nobody. And he went through all the problems we went through. He was ridiculed because this. He was laughed at because his skin color. This is in Chinese. But you can't understand some of Chinese, right? But the answer from Jeremy is in English. Okay, go. From Asian family. They put all the emphasis on grades. How can your mother let you do all these things? That's his mother. He says, "Of course I will." "Is it okay for you to play basketball? But you have to have a backup job." That's why we stress that studying is important, because the first priority responsibility for a student is to study. if you pay attention, focus on study, then you can play basketball. But you have to adjust your time. Because he's still young, he needs to be guided. Especially when he's little. He has, in the grade school, he has very little homework. But in high school, he had a lot of homework. We have to remind him. He has to do the homework first. Then he can play basketball. He didn't mention grade. Remember? Her mother never mentioned grade. Just to do the homework. You can handle well most of the time. But when it comes to the basketball season, we have to remind him. You not only have to plan for the season, you have to plan for the season, do the homework in advance. You have to do the homework in advance, a week in advance, so that you can go to the tournament. Sometimes he has to do homework Sunday evening. What's the most valuable? That is a great parenting. Just like an Oriental parent, we don't know about the sports. So we didn't provide enough environment for them. So his older brother didn't have the environment encouragement. But they went through the first one, they suddenly changed. So when it came to Jeremy Lin, they provide all he needed. There was a time he was so disgusted with playing basketball. Jeremy wanted to give up. At times, that was 2 years ago. He didn't want to play basketball anymore. What is your turning point? So the mother said, when he loses, it's not necessarily not the will of God. In other words, when you fail, it can be the will of God too. Uh-huh. What he said. What's the difference between a Christian basketball player and non-Christian basketball player? 我们就到这里, let's stop here. Let's stop here. So let me finish the last two slides, then we'll stop. Have you read this before somewhere? Can someone tell me where did you hear this? Martin Luther King Jr. He said, this says right to the point. What makes a person valuable? He said, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of skin. You can replace them by the color of skin, by many other things, by the bank account, by where they live, by what they can do, but by the content of their character. I don't know whether this is 1963, almost 50 years ago. I don't know whether the nation we live in today, people are judged by the content of character. I don't know whether you judge yourself by the content of your character. I don't know. That's the key to be valued. Finally, how do I make people like me think I am? Answer. I cannot. But I can know God loves me. Think highly of. Therefore, I can love myself the way God loves me, knowing that I have high self-worth. Has nothing to do with which, what kind of shoes, what kind of makeup, what kind of grades, and how much I make, and how do I look, and what can I do. Nothing to do with that. I have high self-worth because God loves me. Consequently, when I run into Nick Vujicic, I have high respect for him. When I run into each and every one of you, I have high respect for you because I have high respect for myself. Let's have a closing prayer. Father, we confess to you many of time we judge ourselves. We are judged by people around us, by how we look, by how much we own, by what kind of car we drive, by where we live, by what we can do. God, help us to be free from that, because you love Nick Vujicic the way he is. You have high value on him, so you love us just the same. God, we thank you for that. Free us from this lies of this world. Give us the grace and the humility to come to you to say, God, help me. Give me the face so I can reach out to you to receive this unconditional love and grace. Forgive me for all the past things and the words I said based on the look, the wealth, the capability of anybody. And give us a new heart, the heart of love, full of respect for everybody. Just like the rain falls on good people and not so good people. Your grace is for everyone who is willing humbly to receive and accept you as our personal Savior. Lord, I pray for everyone, everybody in this room, so that they can realize and reach out to you to receive the love and forgiveness and hope from you. In Jesus' name we pray.